Welcome to a Sunny Side Up Life podcast, a show for the woman who is ready to live an abundant life full of freedom and positivity. I'm Sammy Womack, and I'm on a mission to help you break free from survival mode, gain financial freedom, stay motivated, and focus on what matters most. Join the movement, and let's start living on the brighter side of life together. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode. So I am still kind of on the same theme that I was on last week, still recapping 2018. To be honest with you, last week's episode was supposed to be the last episode of 2018, but I ended up taking that week off. So I didn't plan to have two recap episodes to start the year off, but this is how it's happening. So I have to recap the year, you guys. I have to share the lessons that I learned in my year of balance with you guys because there were so many takeaways. It was such a big year. It was such a productive yet restful year. And I feel like I grew so much personally and spiritually. My business grew an insane amount. But yet, I rested, I watched more TV, I listened to more books, I took more naps than any other year in my adult life. And I'm honestly not really sure how that was all possible, but that is what balance is all about. That was my goal. So for those of you who are like, wait, what do you mean your year of balance? Okay, so what I do is I pick a word for the year. This is actually a pretty common theme these days. A lot of us, I feel like our generation, if those of you who are like my age, like mid 30s, early 30s, like young mothers, I feel like it's kind of a trend of our generation in a way to pick a year more than pick a resolution, because I think that we've realized maybe from our early adult years or maybe from watching our mothers and other people, that resolutions don't work as much as setting intentions and setting goals, because I feel like an intention is more of just like a theme for your year, more like a vibe for your year. And goals are more tangible, more things that you can track. A resolution is like kind of just saying that you want to do it. I don't know. I know along the lines they're all kind of supposed to mean the same thing, but I just feel like there's a different connotation with them. So this is my fourth year doing a word for the year. And the way I come up with my word is I kind of just like in December, in January, kind of in that area of time, like a little before Christmas, a little after Christmas, I just kind of feel into it. And kind of now that I have my power sheets, like I did a word for the year before I even had power sheets. But now that I have power sheets, it's even easier because of all of the like finishing work at the end of the power sheets and then all of the prep work. Like there's a ton of prep work before you start the next year. So the way the 2 years of power sheets kind of overlap, that whole vibe of like what you're doing in December and January of recapping and then shifting gears into the next season, which is the next year of your life. And so that really has helped too. But I kind of go through that and I kind of look for themes of like what's coming up. What am I feeling like I need to work on? What am I feeling like, honestly, like what is God putting on my heart is a lot of it. And sometimes it'll come to me like from prayer or honestly this year, you guys, it came to me in a dream. That sounds so cheesy saying it out loud, but it really did. And my accountability partner, Allie, I literally texted her or Instagram DM'd her the next morning. I was like, Allie, I don't even want to tell you this, but I had a dream about the word trust. And I'm walking like in this dream and people are like saying it at me, but the word is like literally the text of the word is floating at me like in a cartoon or something. And it's just like trust, trust, trust from every direction. And I woke up and I'm messaging Allie and I'm like, what am I going to do? I don't want this to be my word. That's a terrifying word. Trust what? Like, God, what are you telling me? What am I trusting? I don't like this. And she's like, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I'm going to try my best to not make that my word. And my word for 2019 is trust. I tried to resist, but for some reason, God was putting that on my heart, and that's my word for 2019. But let's see. Let's go back. Okay, 2016, my word was less, and that was the year that we decluttered the most. That was the year that we knocked out a ton of debt, and we like broke free from so many different toxic things in our life, physically, emotionally, all the things. And it was just less. And I felt that word on my heart, and I knew that I needed less of just about everything. And then 2017, my word was achieve. And that was my first full calendar year in my business. And I felt like I needed to achieve so many things, and we achieved so even more debt freedom. I achieved so many work milestones. It was just achieve, achieve, achieve. It was all about achieving. And by the end of 2017, I was understandably exhausted. Like, I was worn out, but yet feeling very achieved. But I was feeling the missing areas in my life, and I had been so numbers based, because of course when you're building a business and simultaneously paying off debt / saving a ton of money, everything seems numbers oriented. Everything is just like achieve, 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 and other things fall to the sides. And I was really feeling that lack of balance. And so my word for the year, it was so clear to me. It's not this clear every single year, but balance was just like, duh, it's going to be balance. It was so clear to me. And so I'm going to be flipping through my power sheets and reading you some things out of my 2018 and my 2019 power sheets. So if you hear me like flipping pages or awkwardly pausing while I'm trying to find something or hitting my microphone, because I do that a lot for some reason, you'll know why. So balance to me, what they prompt you to do in the power sheets when you're picking your word is to do a dictionary search. And so I already knew that my word was going to be balance. But when I did a dictionary search, it reiterated it so much for me. And so by definition, balance is a noun. It is a thing that you can have, that you can hold, you know? Like, I love that it was a noun for some reason. And balance is defined as an even distribution of weight enabling someone or something to remain upright and steady. And I underlined upright and steady. I don't want to come crashing down. and I don't want to just come barreling through something, right? I want to do it standing on my own two feet, and I want to do it steadily. And that was just like, yes, those were words for me. And the second part of the definition says a condition in which different elements are equal or in correct proportion. And I underline correct proportion because that was what I was trying to achieve. That was my main goal with balance. Was I need balance doesn't mean that it's always perfect. It means that it's correct proportion. And for me, correct proportion between work, family, and personal. My personal goals were basically non-existent. The only personal goals I had were ultimately for my family or ultimately for my work. And there was really nothing, like I've shared with you guys several times about my goal in 2018 to have great time and have just chill time. And that was a huge part of balance for me because that was basically non-existent for the previous, goodness, I don't even know, like the majority of my motherhood, probably all of my motherhood, I hadn't had intentional gray time at all. So obviously there were times when I would take a day off. There was times when I would cuddle up with the kids and take a nap, but it was not a conscious effort at all. It was more of a need basis. It wasn't a want or anything like that. So that's what balance meant to me. And let's see, I want to find you a few more things here in my goals from 2018. So it just gives you so much room in the power sheets to just brainstorm. And it feels a little repetitive. I've had several people tell me that the prep work, it is long. And it's, I think it's even longer in 2019. I feel like it's gotten longer every year. This is my third year to have power sheets, and I feel like it's gotten longer. Maybe that's just me. But I've had several people say, well, the prep work feels really repetitive. And it is a little repetitive, but I feel like it's repetitive for a good reason, because you brainstorm, then you uncover your challenges and your fears and what went right and what went wrong and all the things. And then you kind of re-brainstorm your goals, and it helps you just, you're just digging layers and layers and layers and layers. And then you get down to like that diamond in the rough of your goals, and you're like, yes, this is what I was looking for. So there's just so many pages of me scribbling and all of that. So my main goals, my top 10 goals. Oh, I'm just realizing that in 2019, they have room for 8 top goals, and in 2018, they have 10. Interesting. Okay. That shows you how far I've gotten in my 2019 goals. I'm not done yet, guys. So if you're not done yet with your 2019 goals, you're in good company, because I'm not done either. And as Laura Casey says, this is not something I want to microwave. I want to slow cook it. And if it needs slow cooked all the way through January, then I guess that's what's going to happen. Hopefully it won't take that long, but obviously it's taking till the middle of January. After I did all of my prep work, I found my word for the year, which was balance. I went through and I looked for common themes. I looked for kind of more overall goals, and those big overall goals. And if you have seen my power sheets, you know that I color coordinate my goals. So purple is for marriage goals. There's really usually not a lot of marriage goals, because the majority of my marriage goals usually coincide with family goals. And so that's why, if you don't really ever see marriage goals, they're kind of in there, infused with the family goals most of the time. But purple for family goals, pink for personal, blue for family, and green for work goals. And you can do whatever colors you want. You don't even have to color coordinate. But with my word being balance, it seemed really appropriate to do color coordinating. That way I could see on my power sheets, a blue goal was a family goal, a green goal was a work goal. I'm actually doing that again in 2019. Just, I don't know, my brain is stuck like that now, I guess. But it helped me to see the different colors, because I could visually see that I was balancing things, that I was doing a little bit of everything, and that it wasn't all one-sided one way or the other. And that really helped me. I'm a visual learner. I'm a very visual person. I'm a very color coordinated person. So that helped for me. So if that is you, then that might help for you as well. So my marriage goals, my main overview goal was to cultivate our 10th year. We celebrated our 10th year of marriage. And then I had a lot of small goals under that. And those were things that I knew that I would chip away at over the year. So overall, I wanted to cultivate our 10th year of marriage by having like movie nights at home, date nights out, remembering to make time to intentionally wake up before the kids, to have some quiet time, and having bedtime phone chats is what I wrote down, because when my husband's at work, he works nights. So we talk a lot before I go to bed at night and then before he goes to bed in the morning. So those are our quality times. And there's, you know, there would be some times where I would have to get a work project done, or I would just be so exhausted. By the time he woke up, I'm like, okay, I love you. I'm just going to sleep. And we wouldn't have that quality talk. So those were things that I worked on underneath kind of the heading of cultivate our 10th year and then grow into our next 10 years was my next goal, which was just kind of us working together on our goals and our future and all of that kind of stuff. So then for my personal goals, I had an overview goal of prioritize personal growth. And then under that, I had the smaller goals of work on my Bible time. You guys know that I did the chronological Bible last year in its entirety, and that was a huge personal goal, as you can imagine. Have more journaling time. This is something I actually didn't highlight this because I really didn't feel like I made a lot of progress on it. To be honest, I didn't journal the way I wanted to, so that's something I still need to work on. Read and listen to books. I listened to or read 16 books, so I feel like that was pretty good. I crossed that off. Have quiet time, have gray area time, work on my food and exercise, something that I ended up not really focusing on, and working on my rest and my hobbies. And then I had another goal of prioritizing my health with my family. So it was things like learning more about essential oils, and I did. Having more stretch breaks, scheduling my meals better. I did that. I did that in the way of setting alarms throughout the day. We don't really have a breakfast alarm. We just kind of eat breakfast when we wake up because hashtag homeschool life. But we have a lunchtime alarm set on my phone that goes off every day at lunchtime to remind us, all right, it's time to stop doing what we're doing. It's time to eat. So the little two can have nap time and all the things. And then a dinner time alarm as well, which is really helpful because how many nights do we just, the night is just going and we're just like, oh my gosh, it's bedtime and we haven't eaten. So that really helped me. I feel like a lot of my health goals did not happen because I was really focusing on my mental health, which was something that I really didn't anticipate happening, obviously. But in about February or so, as you guys know, if you've listened to the episode, I can link it in the show notes, the episode where I talk about my anxiety and my depression a lot, it really overcame a lot of things that I didn't anticipate. And so I feel like looking back, that I am extremely proud of the year that I had in spite of all of this and because of all of this, because of all of my mental health and things. And I had to step that up. And I think it really showed from, I feel like it was remnants of 2017 and not prioritizing myself. Like I said, I knew in my heart that my balance was way off. And that started to show in about February of 2018. And it got to the point where I went to the doctor, and it got to the point where it was hurting my physical health in the way of I had a pinched nerve in my neck, and it was all the way down my left arm to the point that I could hardly even use my left arm. I could hardly lift my kids. So my anxiety had gotten to the point that I had taken over my physical body. And like I said, I have another episode where I talk all about this, so I'm not going to go into it much more than that. But it just goes to show you that if you're feeling a word on your heart, like I was feeling balance, you know instinctively. And I feel like if you ask God or the universe or whatever you believe in, whatever you call it, for guidance, it's there, you know? And I knew in my heart that my balance was way off. And it was to the point that it literally knocked me down, literally took my left arm for a few weeks to the point that I had to go to physical therapy. And that was a huge part of my balance, was getting that back under control. Okay, so some family goals that we had were prioritize our family's health. And this was in the way of more regular doctor visits. We had really, really slacked on like our kids' checkups with just regular doctor, dentists, eye doctors. There were some things that we needed to take care of, Daniel and I, with like the dentist, the eye doctor, and so many things. And so there were so many things that we had just really procrastinated on. So I made a huge list, and over the course of like 2 or 3 months, we were like slowly checking all these things off that we needed to do. So that was really big for us. Hitting our financial goals, our biggest financial goals for the year were buying our truck, cash flowing our truck, and cash flowing our camper, which we did both of those, and starting the girls' savings account. So our girls have piggy banks like most kids do. They don't get allowances, but they get, money for birthdays and Christmas. And sometimes their grandparents will even send them like $5 for like Valentine's or Halloween or something like that random. And they've pretty much always just stashed the money in their piggy banks. They'll buy little things here and there, but they don't, you know, they don't really do without. So they're good to just kind of save it. And so we had just been stockpiling their money literally in a shoebox under my bed for a very long time. And so we finally set them up real savings accounts so they can actually be earning interest. And it was just getting to the point where it was so much cash that I was worried, like, what if the house got broken into? What if there was a fire and then all of their money? And, you know, so just something small that I procrastinated on. That was a big goal for me. Our next family goal was to establish family rhythms. And I am not one to be on a schedule. And if you guys listen to Ali Casaza's podcast or Kendra Hennessy's podcast, they talk a lot about rhythms. And they're both kind of the ones that turned me on to rhythms versus schedules. And especially with homeschooling, especially with working from home, especially with my husband's crazy work schedule, obviously a rigorous schedule is not going to work for our family. And I had let that hold me back for a really long time when I kind of was like, I could just kind of have a rhythm more than a rigorous schedule. So I really worked on that. I worked on prioritizing family time, like I said, with the balance between work time and knowing when to stop working, because that's really hard for me. Encouraging Daniel to have alone time with the girls, prioritizing our homeschool more, as Izzy and Melanie are kind of getting, they're getting older, they're getting to more where they need to do a little bit of sit-down schoolwork, and not everything is play-based now with them, because they are, you know, learning their handwriting and a little basic math and things like that. And obviously June is, you know, really getting serious about school now. And kind of getting better with our bedtimes and our wake-up times and not letting it be extremely laxed. And the biggest thing, which I got a lot of interest in this topic, so if you haven't heard me talk about this, perk up your ears for a second. I started doing what I call the fresh start weekends. And this mindset is just kind of where you are getting a fresh start on the week rather than catching up from the previous week. So a lot of us will do the bulk of our chores on Saturday or Sunday, right? And I do the same thing. But a lot of us will do it in the sense of we're catching up from the week that just passed. But I flipped it. It's literally no different. But I mentally flipped it to the fact that I'm not catching up from the week that just happened. I'm getting a fresh start on the week ahead. So I'm getting all the laundry done so I can be ready for the week ahead instead of feeling like I'm cleaning up from the week that just happened. I hope that makes sense. So I kind of had this little checklist, and it got to the point where I wasn't really even writing the checklist anymore, because it, after a few months, it started just to become normal. But I would do all the laundry. I would deep clean, like I would, you know, like deep clean the rug, the white rug in our living room. Oh my goodness. So I would literally get on my hands and knees and deep clean the rug every weekend, vacuum like the little nooks and crannies of the couches, and, you know, do all that kind of stuff. I would update our budget really detailed. I would plan for the week ahead, just kind of fill in my calendar, make sure I knew what needed to be done and any kind of random, like, straggling to-dos. And it was awesome and it really, really helped. So that was a really big family goal that I feel like I more than achieved. So some of my business goals, which I won't get too into because I know that doesn't really apply to everyone, but just kind of grow into my coaching with kind of trying to welcome more and more students into my budgeting course, grow with my speaking in ways of creating more videos. Obviously, launching the podcast was huge. And just kind of trying to stick with kind of my theme, my idea, stay myself, you know, not try to be influenced by everyone else that's out there, which is really, really hard with the social media world. So you can see by all of these main goals how these all kind of tied into the word balance and the way that I kind of had an overview goal, like establish a family rhythm, for example, and then I had smaller kind of bullet points underneath of those of things that I could slowly chip away at. And the thing that I love about the power sheets, but you can, you know, obviously you can do this on your own. You don't have to have the power sheets, but every season, so every 3 months, you'll go in and you do a seasonal refresh. And so like in spring, you'll go in, it gives you a place to prompt you to reevaluate all of these top 10 goals, all of these main overview goals. And you kind of go back in and you're like, yeah, I didn't work on that at all. So I should probably think about that. Or you can be like, yeah, I've made a lot of progress on this. Time to kind of switch gears and focus on a different aspect. And I love that because I feel like you can only, the most you can get off track is 3 months. That's the most you can get off track. And with the power sheets, like with the pre-dated, when you get the whole year, the months are already dated. You really aren't going to get off track at all, because if you skip like February, for example, you try to fall off the wagon by February or March, you're just going to have a blank month sitting there staring at you. And I think that just having that kind of, I guess, guilt, for lack of a better word, I kind of hate the word guilt, but just knowing that that is there is going to be like, yeah, I should probably set some goals for this month. That really, really has helped me. So I want to, let's see, flipping through the power sheets. Okay, I want to flip to the end of my 2018 power sheets. Last year, I did a whole recap of 2017, and I made a whole blog post, and I added pictures, and it was super cute, and it took me forever to make. Sorry, drink a coffee, guys. Okay, so I am just going to breeze through this here on the podcast with you guys rather than sharing a million pictures. You can go back on my Instagram if you were just dying to see pictures, which I'm sure you're not. But so my biggest highlights, another thing I love about the power sheets is that at the end of the year, you have a space where it prompts you to write the highlights from every single month. And so I did that. I went back and I looked at everything and it was really amazing. And it is just like, it's about cultivating the gratitude and really just being super proud of yourself for all the progress that you've made. So, okay, sorry. Alarm is going off. My highlight from January was that we became debt free. And so if you're listening to this, the day that this is coming out, it's actually 2 days past our debt free anniversary. So we became debt free in January of 2018. Obviously that was the highlight of that month, if not the entire year. And then in February we cash flowed our truck. March, my highlight was asking for help with my anxiety and going to the doctor for that and all of the things. Obviously, that was huge. My highlight from April, really simple. April was probably the hardest month for me with dealing with my anxiety and adapting to the medication and all of the things. my highlight from April was my outside time, plain and simple. I spent a lot of time sitting outside and just trying to realign everything in my body and my mind and everything. And so that was really big for me. My highlight from May was a super busy month. So we had my sister's wedding was in June, and one of my best friend's wedding was also in June. So obviously those were my highlights from June, but my highlight from May was going on my sister's bachelorette trip. It was amazing. My girls had their dance recital. That was when the weather turned nice and we started having a lot of boat time, which is my favorite thing. And just all of the wedding prep for both my sister and my friend. And it was awesome. My highlights from July were going to physical therapy. That was huge for me. Obviously, it took me from March of first going to the doctor to all the way to July being like, okay, this shoulder thing is really out of control. And I finally went and got physical therapy in July. That was huge for me, asking for help, spending the money, taking the time, all of the things. So if that's something that you're going through, I encourage you to just jump and do it and ask for the help and find the money if you have to do it, because I put it off 4 months longer than I really should have. But that was huge for me. Obviously, more boat time and launching the podcast. That was amazing in July. August, my highlights were turning 30. That was awesome. And one of those like milestones that I'm really proud of. And we went on a river trip for my birthday. More boat time, of course. And by August, I was really starting to feel better mentally. So it took a solid 5 months or so from first going to the doctor to really seeing the results from all of the things like the medication and the physical therapy and taking the downtime and all of the other things that I had to do. And I really started feeling better in August. And I was so, so grateful for that. September, I launched the Declutter Your Budget Challenge. If you haven't checked that out, I'm going to link to that in the show notes, because that challenge was so epic. It was a huge project for me. Obviously, it was the highlight of my September. October, I started going to counseling, and that was amazing. Another thing, like if you have been thinking about doing it, if you feel like you need it, you guys, find the money, find the time. Like if that needs to be your why for getting your budget under control, do it. That was something that I couldn't have afforded to do a couple of years ago. And I literally say a prayer of thanks every single time I get to go to counseling, because I have the money to do it. And I value my time and value myself enough to go. And that is huge for me. And by the way, my insurance does not cover it. So anyone who's like, well, you probably have really good insurance. No, my insurance doesn't cover that. And I still go. So side note, October, we celebrated our 10th anniversary. Obviously that was huge. So exciting. And we bought our camper, just the cherry on top of our year. November, we had a lot of progress, is what I wrote down, progress with a lot of progress with school. I started to see a lot of results with all three of the girls' homeschooling and with Melanie's potty training, which any of my mamas know, that is enough to be the highlight of your entire year when you're potty training your last baby. Praise the Lord. And December, my highlight was going on our first camping trip and having an amazing Christmas. Probably the best Christmas I think that our family has ever had, because I just decided that I was going to really take it easy. I didn't push myself on the decorations. I didn't overdo it with the shopping. I actually spent more money than I've ever spent on Christmas and still felt like I didn't overdo it. It was more of the mindset overdoing it. We made a Christmas bucket list and we did what was on the bucket list, and I just let everything else go. I just had peace with it. Like I tried to find peace with it. My anxiety did not need to be peaked. It did not need the added stress or obligation. And I just, I drew the line at a bucket list. My oldest daughter, June, and I sat down. We made a bucket list. I asked her, what is important to you? What do you want to do? And I will be doing that like every Christmas from now on, because it was so nice to just not overdo it. And I really think that it ended up being the best Christmas for that reason. So that's the highlights of my 2018 power sheets. So real quick, I know that this episode is getting long, but I have to share a little bit more. So in the beginning of the 2019 power sheets, you have places to, in your prep work, you're kind of recapping the previous year while setting intentions for the year to come. And it's a very all-inclusive kind of feeling of you're doing both, and they're both so important. You can't just skip to the next year, because I feel like if you don't spend the time reflecting and going through what worked and what didn't work and what you still need to work on, what you're proud that you did accomplish, all the things, like, you really didn't make any real progress. And I think that is what people who just set resolutions or just write their goals down once and then like just stick them on the fridge and never look at them, I feel like that's what they're missing, is that in between of you have to kind of tie it all together. You have to do the connecting work. Each month is not a separate entity. It is a continual, a ladder kind of that builds and builds and builds and builds. And so if you just jump straight to 2018, from 2018 to 2019, I should say, you're skipping so much. You're skipping the learning in between and the celebrating the progress and the learning from the mistakes and all of that in between. So even though that is hard for me, I don't want to go back and I don't want to dig up all of the hard stuff again. And I kind of don't even really want to go back and relook over the good stuff. I'm like, yeah, it was good. Okay, it happened. On to the next thing. And that's just kind of how I function. But it is so important. And I will be honest, I literally have to force myself to do it. And there are some times where I sit down, I do one page of prep work, I'm overwhelmed, I close my power sheets and I'm like, okay, that's enough. Or there's other times where I can sit there and fly through like six pages because I'm feeling super inspired. So if you're going through the same thing, know that you're not alone, because that's totally normal. Okay, so there is a place for you to write what you are saying no to and what you are saying yes to. And where's the page I'm looking for? There's a place for you to write the good things and the challenges. So I do the good things and the challenges, and then I clean that list up and write what I'm saying no to and what I'm saying yes to, if that makes sense to you. They tie in together. And so my good things and challenges are really brainstormed and messy. And then I go back and look for common themes. So the good things, I just really shared pretty much all of the good things with you guys. So I won't really go back into all of that. Yeah, this is basically everything I just said in my summary of 2018. But some of my challenges, which I think we learn more from the challenges and from others sharing their challenges. So what didn't work for me in 2018 was trying to do it alone, in reference to my business, my taking care of the kids, and in reference to my mental health. So that didn't work for me, trying to do it alone. I needed to ask for help, and that's something I'm not good at, and I'm trying to improve. I am making progress on it, but it's slow progress, honestly. So trying to do it alone did not work. Over-planning, all I did was trigger my anxiety. All I did was trigger overwhelm. I overplanned, I overbooked, I put too much on my plate, and I shouldn't have. And I knew that, and I did it anyway. So trying to make progress on not doing that again. Resisting resisting the help with my anxiety with medication and physical therapy and counseling. And I put up a huge resistance to all of that. And I wish that I wouldn't have fought it for so long. Having too much phone time. You guys know that even in regular life, it's hard. And I feel like it's even, not to make excuses for myself, but when my personal Instagram is my business Instagram, they're the same thing. And my personal lessons are what I share in my business with you guys and through my coaching and all my things. And there's really not a line there. And so it's very easy to say, oh, I'm on Instagram for work, but am I really? So way too much time on my phone, which you can probably relate to. That's a pretty common one. Comparing myself to others, again, with the social media, we spend too much time on social media. We spend too much time looking at what everyone else is doing, comparing ourselves to people that we feel like are more successful. I do the same thing, and it gets really overwhelming, and it's not healthy. It's one thing to find inspiration from someone, but that line has to be drawn somewhere where you start to feel bad about yourself, and you start to just feel overwhelmed and like you just want to curl up in a ball because you'll never be as good as she is and all of that. Let's see. What does this say? I can't read my own handwriting. More work trying to equal better work. So kind of that working harder, not smarter kind of thing. I am guilty of that. I'm guilty of just opening my computer and basically doing nothing but saying that I'm accomplishing something. And so I've really worked to overcome I'm working a lot. I'm working more and more and more and harder and harder. And it's really not better. holding myself back, doubting myself, not feeling good enough, just feeling like I shouldn't be more successful with something. I shouldn't save this much money because there's someone over here who can't save as much for whatever reason. And so feeling like I should hold myself back for whatever reason. That's something that I've always struggled with. excuse me. Overthinking. That goes along with overplanning, I think. Overthinking and just like worrying myself over things, overplanning again, like, doubting myself. That goes back to holding myself back again. You guys, it might not seem like it, but just because someone runs a business or just because someone has a podcast or makes videos or is always present on social media does not mean that they don't doubt themselves, does not mean that they don't go back and critique their own work and tear themselves apart and look at every photo and reread every post and all of the things and doubt yourself and feel like, you know, compare yourself to everyone else. That we are all human. We all do that. And that is something that has been a challenge for me. Trying to be too perfect. That's the next thing I wrote down right there along the same lines. And working without inspiration, which kind of goes back to the working, trying to work more instead of better and working without inspiration because I feel obligated to, because I've set some ridiculous timeline for myself that probably doesn't matter to anyone but myself. It's just not necessary. So I've really tried with the inspiration of my business coach to work out of inspiration, not obligation. And this can be for anything. And I've actually started to apply this to more than just my work. I've applied it to my homeschooling, my just regular chores around the house. Like I feel obligated to do the dishes because they're all dirty, but obviously I'm not inspired to do the dishes. And so that took me a while to kind of flip that in my head, and something I'm still working on. But I feel inspired to have clean dishes. I feel inspired to have a clean house. I want a clean house. Do I want to do the cleaning? No. But do I want the end result? Yes. So I am working on applying that to everything, because working out of obligation just makes you feel like, I don't want to do dishes. I don't want to write this email or do this work project or fold all this laundry or vacuum this floor. But trying to flip that into something inspirational and kind of be ahead of the game on it really, really helps. So that's pretty much my summary of what I learned in my year of balance, my lessons learned, my challenges that I overcame, my successes that I celebrated. And 2019 is going to be my year of trust. I'm sure that I will share more and more about that as we go throughout the year. And of course, I have been sharing on Instagram and in the Facebook group, my goals for 2019, honestly, as I come up with them, because they are not all curated and perfect and Instagram worthy, probably much like your goals are. But I'm trying to share them as I go, because hopefully it will inspire you guys to have some of the same goals, or at least be a jumping off point for some of your own goals or things that you would like to accomplish. Maybe not this year, but maybe at some point in the future, depending on where you are in your journey. So I will be sharing more as I go into my year of trust. And I feel like balance and trust are such, they're such good sisters in that way of trust is the next season of life for me. So I've learned how to balance. Now I have to trust myself on practicing what I have learned. Oh, I want to read you. I'm flipping through the power sheets again. Where is my word? Okay, I want to read you the definition for trust. I feel like reading the definitions is so useful. So if you have a word for the year and you haven't read or written down the dictionary definition of the word, not what it means to you necessarily, but as much as what it literally means, and then you can kind of interpret it your own way. But trust is a verb. I don't know why, but that's so helpful to me to know that balance was a noun. Balance can be a noun or a verb, actually. But I took the balance noun version, and I am taking trust as a verb. So it's something that I need to do. That helps me for some reason. So trust actually has several definitions. I only wrote down five. But number one, have confidence or hope. Number two, rely or depend on. Number three, to believe. Number four, to expect confidently. I liked that one. Number five, charge with the responsibility. So I am going to have confidence and hope in all of the lessons that I learned in balance. I am going to rely on my destiny, I guess. I'm going to depend on myself and others, and I'm going to believe that it's possible. I am going to expect all of my goals and dreams to come true confidently, and I'm going to charge myself with the responsibility of making it happen. So that is that's my year coming up. Whew. Now you can tell why I wanted to resist having trust as my word. That's a lot to take on, especially from a girl who admittedly has anxiety. So that's what God has put on my heart. That is going to be my 2019. So buckle up, podcast listeners, because we are going into a year of trust together. So I would love to hear what your word for the year is, what it means to you, the dictionary definition, or what it means to you, or both. So jump over into the Facebook group and onto Instagram and let me know what your word for the year is. I would love to share. I'm actually going to start a thread in the Facebook community where we can all share our words for the year to hopefully inspire and encourage others. Maybe not for this year, but maybe next year. You never know when a word will stick with you. So I hope that this has been helpful to you guys. I hope that it wasn't just like an hour of me rambling and talking about myself. I hope that you found the lessons in my lessons, and I hope that it encouraged you and inspired you in your year to come. So I will talk to you guys next week. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't, so you don't miss any episodes. Leave me a review if you have not. And always be sharing. You guys are doing an amazing job helping this podcast grow. I am eternally grateful. And I will talk to you guys next week. Bye, guys.